I do like to share with people how the Lord saved me, and I thought I would take this opportunity tonight. I know some of you, and some of you know my testimony and the background that I have, but I would like to share with the congregation how the Lord saved me, and how the Lord has dealt with me over these many years. And so we're going to take our reading from Psalm 40, and I trust the Lord to speak to your heart here tonight. And just before we even get going in the message, the Lord dealt with me at work. Everywhere the Lord spoke to my heart, it was at the place where I was working. And I just want to leave that as an encouragement to you, because we like to say that we want to go on some foreign mission field to minister and to preach the gospel. Folks, there is a mission field in our backyards. And I don't know what you do for work. I don't know what you do day by day, but that is your mission field. And I will share more about the mission field where the Lord ministered to me. So let's read Psalm 40 and trust the Lord to bless our hearts and look to Him now for His power and for His grace. Let's read Psalm 40 together. It states, this is a Psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering Thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast Thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast Thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do Thy will, O my God, yea, Thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, Thou knowest. I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. I have not concealed Thy loving kindness and Thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not Thou Thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let Thy loving kindness and Thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward for their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Well, amen. We do trust the Lord to bless the public reading of His own word for His name's sake. And if we could now just briefly bow in a word of prayer, and let's just still our hearts before the Lord and ask Him to come and speak to us, that we may know His presence once again. And our loving Father and our gracious God in heaven, again, Lord, we do come today humbly and reverently into Thy presence. Lord, we confess that without a covering, without a perfect plea, Lord, we would have no acceptance in Thy sight. Father, we do give Thee thanks here this evening, that you have gathered us once again in Jesus' name. And Lord, how we give thee thanks that we can come and assemble ourselves and fellowship with those of like precious faith. Lord, we are thankful and grateful that there are no people like God's people. We're thankful, Father, that throughout this day we have been able to enjoy one another's company, that we have been able to enjoy one another's presence and to speak of the glorious things the Lord has done in our own hearts. Father, we thank thee for the common bond that brings us together. We confess, Lord, we are different in many respects, one from the other. We come from various backgrounds and various cultures. But Lord, how we bless thee and how we do adore thee, that by your mercy and by your grace, you led us all together, that you have united us together in Christ. Lord, we do pray that you would knit our hearts together closer and closer. Lord, we do pray that you would help us to be gracious one with the other, that you'd help us, Lord, to forbear one with the other. Lord, we pray that we would be a people that would know how to esteem one better than the other. O loving Father, we do ask that you would come and that you would richly bless our gathering. Father, we never want to take for granted the house of God that you have given to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a church, whether here in Pennsylvania or in New Hampshire. Lord, we bless thee that you have given us a physical building whereby we can come and collectively seek our God and worship him in the beauty of holiness. Lord, we thank thee that you have given us the grace and the ability to sing thy praise. Lord, how we do love thee, that you have poured out upon us blessing upon blessing. Lord, honestly, we can say that we have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that you have not dealt with us according to our sin. But, oh, Father, how we do bless thee tonight, that you have dealt with us richly in Christ. Lord, we thank thee for the Savior who came and who bore all of our sin away. We do rejoice, Heavenly Father, that the second person of the Trinity left his splendor with thee and came and fashioned himself like a man and took upon him the form of a servant. Father, we do pray. We give thee thanks that Christ emptied himself that we may be full. Lord, we do ask tonight that you would touch our hearts once again and that you would remind us of the pit in which we were taken from. We pray, Lord, that you would remind us afresh of that great salvation which your Son has purchased for us. We ask, O Lord, again tonight that you would remind us of the great cost it took to redeem our souls. Lord, we bless thee. We bless thee, Lord, that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank thee that nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. And so, Father, we do ask, come and let us know now thy presence. Lord, let us not go forward except knowing that the Spirit of God is here and that to bless. Lord, we do praise thee. Again, we just give thee thanks for this work. We thank you for the minister and for the session and the entire church body. Lord, we pray thy richest blessing upon this work and this part of thy vineyard. We do pray that you would bolster them in their time of need, that you would comfort them. Lord, that they would seek thy face, that they would know that underneath them and all around them are thy everlasting arms. We thank thee, Lord, that you have put this work in a greater work. And we thank you, Lord, for the Free Presbyterian Church. We thank you for our denomination. And we do pray, Lord, that you would keep our denomination pure, that you would keep our denomination, Lord, steadfast in the things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. O Lord, guard this sacred desk, we pray. And we ask, O Heavenly Father, that every time a minister would mount the pulpit, that he would know the power and the unction of the Holy One himself. O Lord, be with all of our ministers across this land. And Lord, we pray as well that you would be with every faithful man that preaches the gospel of Christ. Lord, we thank thee for the gospel, for as Paul even stated, that it is the power of God unto salvation. And so, Lord, help us to be men and women, boys and girls, Lord, that are willing to stand for the crown rights of King Jesus. O loving Father in heaven, we just give Thee thanks. We thank Thee that we can call upon Thee in our weakness. We thank Thee that we can call upon Thee, Lord, when we feel that we have nothing. Lord, we thank Thee that You delight in the prayer of the upright. Lord, do our hearts good and help me now as I give a word of testimony to Your people. Lord, refresh in their own hearts the day and the hour when You came and You saved them. Lord, I pray that even the testimony would convict those who are outside of Christ here tonight. Lord, convict those who are dead still in their trespasses and in their sins. Lord, I pray that You would open their blinded eyes, that You would rebuke the devil. I pray tonight, Lord, that tonight would be the day of salvation. Lord, give whoever, whether young or old, the great grace they need to come and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, let not one leave this meeting here tonight without trusting in the Savior. And so, Father, do our hearts good and bless us each one, we pray. Receive of our thanks for the things that will be said and done in this Thy house. Lord, help us now, we pray, and do every waiting heart good, we ask. In Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake, amen and amen. Psalm 66 and the verse 16 states, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul." As I stated at the very beginning of our service here tonight, I want to share with you the testimony of God's saving grace in my own heart and in my own life. As I alluded this morning, it amazes me that the Lord has brought me to this place in my life. And I must say, it has only been mercy and it only has been grace that has preserved me thus far. And I want to just publicly thank the Lord again for reminding me and softening my heart to His goodness and to His love that He has so freely bestowed upon me. And so I trust, as I give my testimony to you, that the Lord will speak to your heart, that the Lord will even encourage you to give your testimony. You know, when in doubt, if you can never say anything for the Lord, if you cannot marshal an argument, as it were, for the Lord, no one can ever argue against the testimony that the Lord has worked in your heart. Be encouraged by that. And I trust that the Lord will richly bless you, that the Lord will use your testimony in leading others to the Savior. Well, let me just give you a bit of background where I'm from and how I got to this place in my life. I'm 39 years old, and it was many, many years ago, 20 years ago, really, that the Lord began dealing in my own heart and in my own life. I'm originally from San Diego, California. I grew up there. Now, I say I'm originally from there. I am not a native. I am a local. As I was sharing with some of the folks here this morning, I actually was born in New Jersey. I was born in Lakewood, New Jersey. But my mom's family lived in San Diego, and so we were quickly migrated to Southern California. So I grew up there, and I call that place my home. It was there that I enjoyed life for many years. I used to love to go to the beach. I still love to surf when I get the opportunity. I did a lot of things while I was there and enjoyed my time in Southern California. And I must say, it was a great place to grow up in. The weather never got below 60 degrees. Now, I'm exaggerating a bit. I do remember that they opened up shelters when it got down to 40 degrees. But the weather is ideal. And I certainly miss the weather, especially on days like today. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I did not have the advantage like some of our young people here and some of the young people that go to camp. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I did not, at an early age, hear the gospel. I did not, and I was not trained in the things of Christ. I was never catechized. I was never taken to Sunday school. In our home, the Bible was never read. Nothing was ever said of the Lord. The only thing I can ever remember my mom saying was that if anybody asked you, she put us into a public school called Bostonia. Now, that name tells you right away, a Christian school. She said, if anybody asks you, you tell them that you are not a Catholic, but that you are a Christian. Well, as a little kid, I scratched my head. I didn't know what she meant, but I just said, okay. And that's the only time I can ever remember of being ever taught anything about the Bible. I do have a sister. I have a twin sister. She looks just like me, poor thing. No, she actually got everything. She got the looks, the brains, and the brawn. No, my sister is 5 minutes older, and I have a twin sister. She, when we were growing up, she went to a church. I can't remember the name of the church. She used to go to this church when she was in her teens, and maybe even younger. And I do remember her sharing with me a bit of the Bible. I do remember my mom buying for her a Bible, but I never had a Bible. I never had any teaching in the gospel. As I stated, my parents were not Christians. They did not teach us the things of Christ. And I regret that, but the Lord in His mercy had that for a reason. I grew up in my early years, a very, very good kid. I obeyed my parents. I loved them. I served them. And but then some things changed at a very early age. And I'm not here. Well, at the age of 12, my mom passed away. After I was 12 years old, I started becoming more rebellious or rebellious period. I was getting involved in all sorts of things as a kid. I didn't know if I was going to get out of junior high into high school. I was really rebellious. I got into high school and there I started straightening up. But then I started to rebel some more. My dad met his new wife and there was some friction in the home. And I really started to rebel. At the age of 16, when I got my driver's license, I got liberty and freedom from the house. I started just to go anywhere and everywhere that I wanted to go. Now, I confess to you that I'm very much ashamed of the things that I got myself involved in. And it's not my desire to share with you all the things that I did. Yes, I was involved with drugs and with drink. And I am very much ashamed that I ever did any of those things. And I trust young people that you will never ever go that way. I trust the Lord to preserve and to protect you. And as Psalm 34 states, that the angel of the Lord will encamp around those that fear Him. But I grew up very rebellious. I dropped out of high school my senior year. I was this close of graduating. I was so rebellious that my dad said, "Son," and this was at the age of 17, he said, "If you're not going to abide by our rules in this home, if you're not going to go to school or even hold a job any longer, then I have to say, sadly, you must leave." And so at the age of 17, my dad asked me to leave the house. He wasn't asking me, "Where are you going to go? What are you going to do?" He just said, "Son, you need to take your things and leave." That was quite a shock to the system. I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't know what I was going to do. Thankfully, I had some friends who were older than I was. They were in their mid-20s. At the time, I was only 17. And one of my friends said, "You can come and live with me. You can stay in my home and with a few of my friends, and it'll be okay. You just need to pull your weight and work." Well, that was good for about a month. I was very rebellious in that place, and I didn't pay my rent. I didn't do the things I should have, and those guys kicked me out. And it was quite funny. When my dad was on vacation, I moved back to the home. And when he came back, he saw me there and he says, "You can't stay here. Well, the Lord started dealing with my heart and started really convicting me and just dealing with my heart, with the lifestyle I was living. I remember I was living on my own. I was 19 now at the time. And because I didn't graduate high school, now I'm not disparaging construction work. I did a lot of construction work, but that's where I was. I started working, and I hadn't even no experience in construction. I was more of the laborer and the grunt. And I went to work at a place called RCP Block and Brick. It was a concrete company, and it was there I was working, just putting together pallets, just nailing together pallets. And while I was there, one of the guys asked me if I would come over and help another guy pour concrete. To this day, I love pouring concrete. The reason why is just once you get in the work, you can't stop until it's done. And it's great, great work. I like it. It's just great labor. Well, anyway, I went to work pouring some concrete, and I walked up to this fella, and I saw him pouring, and I was going to be working under him. And his name was Steve Cesena. And it was during this time that the Lord planted the gospel seed in my life. When I worked with this fellow, he was, I thought that he would be like me, that he would say certain things, that he would just, me and him would get along like a house on fire. But I found out quite the opposite. I walked up to this fellow, and I used to have a very bad mouth, evil communication. The language was terrible. And I remember walking up to Steve and saying certain things. And to be honest with you, I can't even remember all the things I used to say. But Steve said, "Don't say those things around me." He says, "I'm a Christian, and I'm offended by you taking the Lord's name in vain." I was stunned. I was expecting this guy to pick up where I left off and just say back things to me that I was saying to him. I didn't realize it, but Steve was an ex-gang member. San Diego has a lot of gangs. And he was an ex-gang member, and the Lord miraculously saved him. And Steve was living for the Lord now. Well, Steve told me, he says, "Don't say those things around me. We can work together, that's fine, but you have to keep your mouth clean." Well, he knew by the fruit that I was displaying that I wasn't a Christian, and he told me, really, point blankly and bluntly, he said, "Craig," he says, "you need to be saved." 19 years old was the first time that I ever heard that I needed to be saved, that I needed to be born again, that I needed to have a relationship with God the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I needed to have my sins forgiven and cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord. I never heard that before. 19, living in America, having never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I must say I was greatly convicted. I would go home, and night after night, as I was living with two other friends of mine in an apartment, and I would go home thinking about what Steve said to me. And as I worked with him throughout the weeks and the months, I would continue to think about what he was saying at work all the time. I was getting so convicted of my lifestyle. I was getting so uneasy with myself that I was trying to do everything just to get rid of the idea that I needed to be born again, that I needed to be washed in the blood. The only way I can illustrate it for you is, have you ever been in a swimming pool? And in the swimming pool, there's a lot of flotation devices. And with your strength and with your might, you try to take, say, a ball or a floating device, and you try to put it under yourself and maybe sit on it for a while. And you're trying to keep this thing under the water. Well, because you're sitting on it and it's not really steady, somehow it pops to the surface. Well, that was exactly what was taking place in my own heart and with my own mind. I would try to suppress the gospel. I would try to suppress the truth with drugs and with drink. I wanted to put out of my mind the idea that I needed to be born again. The Bible states in Romans, those who are ungodly, they try to suppress the truth or hold down the truth in unrighteousness. To suppress the truth in unrighteousness, you physically must, with all your might, put this truth out of your mind. You're doing your best to put the gospel behind you. Well, the Lord in His mercy kept bringing the truth to my mind, kept bringing it up over and over and over again. But sadly, because of my irresponsibility, I had to leave the place of employment. I had to leave my friendship with Steve, and I was no longer under his witness, as it were. And I went to work at another place, at another company. This was an iron company. I was working in a steel yard. And this is where the Lord actually watered that gospel seed that was planted in my heart. And it was there that I met two men. I went to work at a place where my father used to work. It was a steel yard. And I became a welder, a fabricator. And there I met two men. One of our ministers, Tom Tice. Maybe some of you know him. He's a minister out in Colorado. And Tom is a very special, special man in my life. The Lord used him mightily. And also the Lord used another man named Bruce Ferguson. And these two men spoke to me about the gospel. I remember working with Tom, and I don't know about you, but you go out in society, you're at the store, wherever you are, and you see somebody, and you look at them, and you say, there's something different about them. They haven't said anything to you. They haven't said that they're a Christian. They haven't stated anything about the gospel. They're not wearing any kind of placard or shirt saying they're a believer. They're not wearing a ball cap with John 3:16 on their head. But you can tell that there's something different about them, can't you? And you say to yourself, I think they might be a Christian. There's definitely something different about them. Well, this was exactly the way I thought of Tom. Tom was different. If you've ever been to a steel yard, it doesn't attract the most respectable of men. I mean, the guys there are pretty rough. They're rough guys. Good guys, rough guys. And some of them come into work just looking sloppy. They're not really prepared for the day. Well, Tom used to come to work very clean cut, shirt tucked in. If he had any holes in the jeans, they were patched up. He had a belt on with all the necessary tools on. And all of us, the other guys, we weren't like that. And I remember seeing Tom, and I just thought, there's something different about this guy. He holds himself differently. His demeanor, his disposition, is just, there's something different. I asked him, I said, Tom, I said, are you in the military? Because he was the only guy at work who had short hair. It was clean cut and everything. And he says, no. Well, San Diego's a military town, and so I thought maybe he's in the reserves or whatnot. And he says, no, I'm not in the military. I said, Tom, are you a police officer? He had this big mustache, you know, and I don't know if it's the same here, but most police officers are stereotyped having a big mustache. Well, he said, no, I thought maybe he was an, you know, off-duty police officer or something, or, you know, maybe did a watch at night, or I don't know. And then before I could ask him another question, he said, I'm a minister. I'm a preacher. I am working 40 hours a week. But I'm pioneering and planting a church in La Mesa, California. That was just around the corner from my house. And I couldn't believe it. He didn't know it, but the Lord was dealing with my own heart. And when he said that he was a preacher, I stood back on my heels and I quickly watched what I was saying. I didn't want to offend him. I didn't want to give, as it were, myself away. And Tom was very, 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 very nice. You know, the verse of scripture that comes to my mind is there in Matthew chapter 5. Truly, Tom let his light so shine before men. He walked with the Lord in such a way that he didn't have to say that he was a Christian. He just let his light so shine before men that they may see his good works and glorify his Father, which is in heaven. Tom was very friendly. He used to share his tools with me. He would take me by his side and teach me how to put things together and do certain things. And he was such a friend. And you know, isn't that what we need to be? The Lord Jesus Christ, was he not? He was a friend to publicans and sinners. It didn't mean that he ran to the same sins that they did. but that he was a friend. Tom certainly was a help in leading me to Christ. He would ask me questions and I would ask him questions. And finally, I told him how I was burdened and my heart was overwhelmed and I was getting convicted. And I was just asking him questions about the gospel. And I remember going up to him during work hours saying, you know, Tom, can I ask you about the gospel? You know, what about this? What about that? And finally, Tom said, you know, maybe we should talk on not company time, but maybe we should talk on our breaks or at lunchtime. And I quickly said, no way. That's my time. I'm not going to talk to you at that time about the gospel. Well, Tom found out I lived in his neighborhood or near his neighborhood. So there were a few times when he asked for rides home. And I gave him a ride home. And just to annoy him, I remember turning up the stereo and trying to bug him because I didn't want him to start speaking to me about the gospel. I remember him asking me to come into his home and to have dinner with him, he and his family. To this day, just because of the way circumstances have been, I've never been in his home. He lives in Colorado. I live in New Hampshire. But he used to invite me in all the time, and I said, no way. Once I go into your house, it's fair game. You're going to start preaching to me the gospel. And I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to subject myself to that. But Tom and I used to talk quite a bit. I remember talking to him about serious things, and I asked him one day, I was in quite a predicament. I was in a terrible pickle. And I asked him, Tom, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And he says, you ever thought about praying? I said, praying? What do you mean? I'm not a Christian. I thought only Christians can pray. He says, no, you can call upon the Lord. You can ask the Lord to help you in your time of need. But he urged me not to forget the Lord if he answered my prayer. He described it as foxhole religion. You know, there are guys who go to battle, and we have many of our sons and daughters now in battle. And he stated, you know, there are those who, when they go to battle, they're on the front lines, they're facing death, and what do? They cry out unto the Lord to spare them, to have mercy on them. And the Lord, in all of his mercy and all of his goodness, he does. And then they go back to base camp, and immediately they forget the Lord, that the Lord spared them from that trouble. And he urged me, he says, don't forget the Lord if he spares you. Well, I asked Tom, I said, where do I pray? What do I say? He says, just speak to the Lord. Is that not what prayer is? A pouring out of our heart to the Lord, as the psalmist states. And so I did. I was driving to work. It would take me about an hour. I don't know if you remember here just a couple of weeks ago, Rancho Bernardo was on the news. It was burning terribly. That's where I used to work. And I would drive about an hour to get to work. And on my way to work one day, I decided to pray. And I just was speaking. And I'm sure the guy next to me in the next car over thought I was nuts because I was speaking and there was no one in the car with me. And I just was asking God to help me, to spare me, and to be merciful to me. Well, the Lord did. He showed me his mercy. And again, I've never forgotten that. Another fellow who came to work at the steel company, his name was Bruce Ferguson. And Bruce, not to sound better than Bruce, but I don't know how Bruce came to work with us. I thought I was in dire straits, but Bruce was even worse than I was. I'm not trying to make myself look better than he is, by no means. But Bruce came to work with us, and he was heavily involved in drugs. He was very problematic at work. He butted heads with everybody, and he got along with nobody. And I remember listening to this guy in the lunchroom say certain things and do certain things. And then all of a sudden, it was like day and night, he came to work a new man. He came to work a new creature in Jesus Christ. A man who used to tell the dirtiest jokes in the lunchroom was now reading his Bible openly. This guy every day at work would read his Bible. He was being teased at work for now his new walk. And I remember I was one of the guys teasing him. Bruce and I were put in a position where we had to work side by side for a while. And I remember asking Bruce a few things about his new walk, his new life. And I asked him, what was it all about? And he was telling me. And Bruce told me that he got saved, that the Lord spoke to his heart, that the Lord convinced and convicted him of his sin, and the Lord gave him grace to call upon him. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Right before my eyes, this man was transformed from a creature of darkness into a creature of light. I was asking him many questions. I said, Bruce, if I were to come to Christ, if I were to put my trust in Him, can I still do certain things and walk with the Lord? And he says, no, you can't. He says, the Bible states that if you're in Jesus Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're new creatures. We have a new will. We have a new desire. We have a new liking. And so he says, no, you cannot do those things. Well, I was wrestling and wrestling and wrestling with what he had to say. And I remember he was so gracious with me. And he was so helpful. He was talking to me all the time about the Lord. It was on December 20th, 1991, that the Lord reached down and saved me. And I call this the fruit of the gospel seed. Bruce and I were still working together. And again, as I mentioned, everywhere the Lord was dealing with me was at work. Bruce and I were working together and we were having to take a piece of steel out into the yard that was painted. And we were putting it in the yard. And I was walking along the forklift. And Bruce didn't know the wrestlings that were going on in my life. But he could see upon my countenance that I was really struggling. And Bruce said, you know, today, Craig, is the day of salvation. Why don't you call upon the Lord? He took the text there from Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. And as we were walking out, I was on the side of the forklift and he parked the forklift and he says, why don't you just ask the Lord to save you? And I thought about it and I thought about my friends. I thought about my family. And then I thought, these two cannot get in the way of me coming to Christ no matter what. I knew that I was going to be greatly embarrassed from my friends and from my family just because of the position I was taking. But I called upon the Lord that day, December 20th, 1991, and I honestly remember a great weight being taken off my shoulders. I don't know if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress. We actually did it 2 years ago with our young people at Vacation Bible School. But Pilgrim, you remember, had this great burden on his back. I felt like Pilgrim. When I asked the Lord to save me, this burden came off my back. And I was so relieved that I finally took care or took got my heart right with the Lord. Bruce led me in prayer. I can't remember what I really prayed, but I prayed and asked the Lord, I know, to forgive me. But I do remember we prayed longer than just a few minutes. And the first sign of God's grace in my life, I believe, was my mouth, was my language. As I told you, I had a terrible, terrible mouth. And again, I'm very ashamed of that. But the Lord, for the first time, allowed me to hear myself speak and see, as it were, the words come out of my mouth. It was like alphabet soup coming out of my mouth. You know, and the words were being strung together. And I knew that I have to speak in such a way that would honor the Lord. I walked back into the steel room or the steel shop, a different man. And I remember I was walking on cloud nine and I was just so excited that I got my heart right, that I took care of my soul. There was great peace that flooded my soul. I had moved in with some other guys at the beach and 5 days before. And I remember telling them when I got home, I said, guys, I'm not the same guy that you rented this room to 5 days ago. I'm a Christian now. And I said, if it's okay with you, I would still like to live here because I gave them my deposit. I gave them rent and I had nowhere else to go. And they were pleased with it. They said, fine, you can stay here. I do remember I lived there for about 2 years after that. And the Lord gave me a witness with these guys. But I must confess that after I got saved there that day at work, that I struggled with the assurance of salvation. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever struggled with the assurance of being saved. And I'm learning and I've learned that to have assurance is not a prerequisite, as it were, to get into heaven. It's great to have the assurance of God that you're saved, that the Lord has saved you. But you can have a lack of assurance and still be saved. I struggled with a lack of assurance for a year. I remember telling Bruce that I just don't know if I'm saved. Maybe we need to do this all over again. And he says, no, you're all right. You called upon the Lord, did you not? The Bible says that whosoever shall confess with his mouth and believe in his heart the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall be saved. And he assured me that if you've sought the Lord, well, you're saved. But I wrestled with that. I wrestled with that. And I really, really struggled for a long, long time. I remember working. I used to work a day job and a night job. And at the night job, I was cleaning buildings. And I was cleaning one day and it hit me like a ton of bricks, that my salvation did not depend on anything that I have ever done up to that point. The Lord had to confirm in my heart through the wrestling, and he had to bring me through it, that I'm not to trust in the fact that I prayed a prayer, that I believe. Because if we're trusting in the fact that we prayed and that we're believing, we're trusting in ourselves. The Lord had to teach me and show me that we're to trust in Christ and what He has done on our behalf. The Lord confirmed in me that day from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 that it wasn't anything I have done that saved me, but it was all of Christ. And this has been my, if I can say, my life's verse from then on. The Apostle Paul writes, and you remember here in this epistle, he's dealing with the doctrine of justification. And he writes in chapter 2, and he expresses not only his own testimony, but the Apostle Paul is expressing the testimony of all believers. If you're a child of God here tonight, this is your testimony. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul is simply stating that we are one with Christ in his death. He goes on to say that we are one with Christ in his life. And then Paul goes on to say that Christ is one with us in our life. And the Lord really sealed this to my heart that it's not anything that I've done. It's not that I walked an aisle. It's not that I prayed a prayer. It's not anything that I've done that saved me. It's solely what Christ has done. And I rejoice in that. And the Lord gave me great, great peace and assurance from then on. Yeah, I have doubted other things along the way, but the Lord has confirmed in my heart that I'm saved. And that I'm saved for all eternity. You know, if you're struggling tonight, maybe you're a young person, old person, I don't know. Maybe you're struggling with the Lord. I trust the Lord will speak to your heart through this text. I confess these 16 years have been up and down. But I can honestly say they have been the best 16 years of my life. I'm glad the Lord saved me. I confess it hurts at times to be shown the depravity of my heart. I confess it hurts at times to have to see the things and to realize the things that I think of, the things that I do, at times cannot be pleasing to the Lord. But the Lord is so merciful and so gracious. And He is just tenderly showing me and leading me and making me more and more like Himself. You know, I like what John Newton had to say. And again, you remember John Newton. He wrote that great hymn, Amazing Grace. And he, in his testimony, said, I'm not what I want to be, who is as a Christian. I'm not what I should be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But I thank God I'm not what I was. I thank the Lord that He has given me a heart to serve and love the Savior. It's not a perfect heart. I wish it were. But the Lord has placed within me His Spirit. And I'm thankful that the Lord does lead and guide me in my life. Now, how did I get behind a pulpit? After I got saved, the Lord impressed upon me the text of Scripture, I will make you fishers of men. And I didn't understand that text. I thought I was going to be a fisherman. I didn't understand that. And after reading, I was convinced that the Lord was putting me into the ministry. I didn't know to what capacity at all. I just knew after I got saved, the Lord was taking me into the ministry. After I got saved, I went to work at a hotel where I was a valet parker. I always joke and say I was an automotive relocation technician specialist. And I was in the arts. And it was there that the Lord started to give me a new life. I was placed in charge of 12 men. I was the bell captain. Things were just happening all around me that I couldn't explain. I was going to church. I was reading my Bible. I was praying. I was wanting to be in the company of Christians. I was so thankful for a family named the Mulders. They were very influential in my early formidable years as a Christian. They would drive all the way down to the beach, some 20 miles, and pick me up and bring me back to church another 20 miles, and then bring me back home, and then they would drive back. And they did that for many, many weeks on end. They were very, very influential. They discipled me, and I thank the Lord for them. The Lord, after I got saved, as I told you, was leading me into the ministry, I felt. And so I decided to go to school to get my education. I didn't finish high school, so I had to go back and get my GED. And then I was studying fire science. I wanted to become a firefighter. And I was pursuing a fire academy. I was enrolled. I was actually going to school. But then the Lord changed all that. And I enrolled in at Bob Jones University. The Lord brought me to that school. And while I was there, I was studying and I enjoyed going to the school. But then the Lord took me from that school over to Northern Ireland. And there I went to the Whitfield College of the Bible. And that's where I met Pastor David McClelland, who I serve with now up in New Hampshire. I met a number of other young men there. But I was there going to school. And I must say that it was a tough time, but it was a joyful time. The Lord was showing me many, many things about myself and about Himself. Then I came back and I did 3 more years at Geneva Reformed Seminary. After that, I was placed in an internship in Illinois. And out there, I couldn't believe I was in the heartland of America. I was serving the Lord, as I stated in the morning, among the cornfields and the cattle. I was put in a place where there was not another home for miles. One home for, I don't know, every 5 miles or so. And it was there that I ministered for a year. After I ministered there, I got married. And then after I got married, the Lord brought us up to New Hampshire. And I've been serving the Lord there for 4 years. The first year I was there, I was just the assistant. I was a licensed minister. And while I was there, then the Lord called me to be the associate pastor. And I've been serving in that capacity ever since. My wife and I are expecting our first baby, and it is a boy, and we rejoice in that. We have been pleading Ecclesiastes 3:11 that the timing of the Lord is beautiful, and the Lord has blessed us thus far with a baby boy. And I don't know what the Lord has in store for me, but I know that He will lead me and He will guide me. We had a saying over at the college, where He leads me, I will follow. What He feeds me, I will swallow. I just hope the food's always good. But it's only by the grace and mercy of God that I'm standing before you here tonight, that I'm here sharing with you my heart and my testimony of God's saving grace. And it is my desire that everyone here tonight would know the Savior. I trust that you have a testimony to give. And as I said already at the very beginning, if you can never say anything else, if you cannot, you know, come through the Bible and preach a message, as it were, preach your testimony. Tell them of the great things the Lord has done for you. No one can take that away from you. The Lord has given it. And I trust the Lord will use it mightily in your life. And again, I encourage our young people to walk with the Lord and to draw close to Him, to truly appreciate these years in your teen years or even your younger years, because you don't know how good you have it. I wish I grew up in a Sunday school and in a church, learning the gospel truths, being catechized, having all these things impressed upon me at an early year. Because these things will do you good in your adult years. So again, I just trust the Lord to bless the testimony to your heart. Again, I thank you for listening to it. And again, I thank you for your fellowship here today. And I trust the Lord to richly, richly bless this congregation. I want you to know that today I did experience the Lord's presence. The Lord is in the house. The Lord is here, and that to bless you. And if I can be so bold to say, I know that not only this church, but our whole denomination has gone through a very difficult, difficult week. But be assured that we're all going through it together, and that the Lord is building His church no matter what. Be encouraged that there are churches praying for this church. As a church in New Hampshire, we pray weekly for all of our churches and for all of our ministers. We pray for you regularly. And again, I trust the Lord to bless every family here and to bless every family in the Lord, that the Lord will unite every family in Christ. I know there are young people here who are going astray, and I trust the Lord to grab a hold of them. I know there are young people here that are doing well with the Lord, and I trust the Lord to allow you to keep going on well with Him. You have a good church here, and I trust again the Lord to bless it richly. Well, let's bow in a word of prayer, and let's just give thanks for this wonderful day. And again, I thank you so much for your fellowship. It has been a joy, and I just want to extend my thanks to Dr. Allison. Dr. Allison was a tremendous friend to me in my early years of being saved. He actually was out in San Diego ministering in that work there, and that's where I first met him. And I just thank the Lord for him ever since. And again, I just want to publicly thank him and the session for inviting me down here for this weekend. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do praise Thy name tonight for just the grace that You have given, that You have shown to us. Lord, I thank You for allowing me the opportunity to share with these dear folks my testimony. And Lord, I pray that I would be reminded of what You have done for my own heart. Lord, I thank You for saving me. And Lord, I pray that You'd forgive me for those times when I have taken for granted of Thy great salvation. Lord, I pray that You'd forgive me for those times when I have neglected Thee, when I have wanted to do my own thing and go off, as it were, into bypath meadows. Lord, I thank Thee that You have preserved me to this point. Lord, I pray that You would continue to preserve me, that You would protect me, that You would keep me from falling. Lord, I pray that you would bless all of our congregations, that you would preserve them, that you would protect them. Lord, that you would empower them in the things of the Lord. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for this church and for all of our churches across this land and across the globe. And again, Lord, we do pray that you would bless our denomination. We thank thee, Lord, that you have raised up this denomination. And through this denomination, we are naming the name of Christ. We are preaching his gospel. Lord, help us always to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Help us to preach Christ in all of his fullness to men in all of their need. Loving Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would part us now with thy blessing. We pray, Lord, that you would keep us in thy fear. We pray, Lord, as well, that you would show us traveling mercies as we go out upon the roads. Lord, we ask that you would keep everyone safe. Lord, as well, we pray that you would help us to leave here rejoicing in the Lord. For God is our strength. We thank thee that God enables us to surmount the difficulties of life. He sets our minds heavenward. And Lord, we bless thee that thou art our song. Part us now with thy blessing and keep us in thy fear again, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. And amen.